The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest. This week, definitely a guest. Ranking things in Star Wars, we love to keep it pretty simple and fun and go all over the map when it comes to ranking things. Last week, I was by myself ranking my favorite Star Wars memories, which seems weird to rank things, but I wanted to really analyze the building blocks of my Star Wars fandom and put them in some sort of order that made sense to me. And this week, Joseph Scrimshaw back again. Welcome back to the Rankin Arena.
I am happy to be here, being a guest. Do you want me to take my shoes off, or can I keep them on in the ranking arena?
You can keep them on. We do Force Center, but we each have our own little shows that we love to invite. But really, it's, you know, you're in the studio and I'm in the studio. I mean, what are we? It's special to have you here.
Yeah, but it is your show. You started it, and I think you obviously host it, and I love everything that you've done with it with guests, and I love it when you rank yourself.
I rank myself, indeed. It was, because it was like I need an episode, and I have no problem just talking by myself into a wall and the microphone, but I wanted to, I was kind of proud, but you know, it's hard to look back. We all have the same kind of stories you remember from your own life of child. I was like, I want to dig a little deeper and remember what growing up Star Wars was for me. And So we'll see. But anyways, enough about my journey. This is a journey looking to the future in Star Wars. We are ranking, as the title would say, the actors we want to see in Star Wars. Now, Joseph, you had pitched this one here. What I love about this list is this is very much of the time. We could have done this in 2014, 2015, and then the list would have been different, and maybe the list would have come true. And I think we could do this next year after a new cast are unveiled for shows, and we look to more movies and shows down the line. So I love this is a little Star Wars time capsule episode, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of my actors have been in the time capsule for a long time. But yeah, you're right. Some of them would not have been here in 2014, and I'm sure there'll be new ones in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the list, this is normally we share our list with each other. So this is one of the kind of an old school Star Wars rank back in the beginning. It was a little bit more of a surprise. So we'll see if there's any overlap. And I think it's if there is, let's just roll with it, because this will be kind of fun to see where our minds go. And one of the things I think and not knowing your list yet, I got to say my list. A lot of times, and you know, Joseph and I have been around this this movie punditry world for a bit now. And a lot of times, you come on shows and you're asked, "What director do you want in a Star Wars, or what actor?" And sometimes the tendency is to go to something new, something fresh, a name you haven't heard, or someone. And which is something I really champion, and I know you do too, Joseph. My instincts in this putting this list together, I think perhaps inspired by Mandalorian, particularly season two, is I started looking at older actors and wanting to see them bring in their experience and wisdom and just who they are to Star Wars, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And spoiler, I did that too. I think that's part of just a product also of just having long-term been fans of other things, and you want to see those people kind of swing into Star Wars. I did try to, in my list and in runner-ups, pick a few people who are maybe, you know, a little younger, a little emerging. Mm-hmm. But also, the thing that I was really thinking about when I was putting this list together is that maybe my actual number one that I didn't want to list as my number one because it's boring is totally unknown actors, right?
Yes.
The fun of doing a ranking like this is to have actors that maybe people super know, or maybe people they've vaguely heard of, or one or two that you haven't heard of, mm-hmm. you know? But I think it is really important to reconnect to that, like, it's also great. I would be thrilled if it was like, yeah, Rogue Squadron, Patty Jenkins, there's one super well-known actor, and four mm-hmm. people that she saw at a theater, you know, or have been on one soap opera and you've never heard of them, but they're amazing, you know?
Yeah. All right. There with you on that there, you know, the discoveries. I mean, think back, remember when Daisy Ridley was cast and there was like one headshot going around because it's like all you could find of her.
Yeah.
It's like 20-year-old in London Daisy or whatever it was. It was great. Yep.
Yeah, totally unknown or really early in their career. And Star Wars is a thing that's like huge for them. I definitely want that as well.
Absolutely. And you know, and I'm going to, we always kind of do Hall of Fame inductions and this, that. This, I got to cheat a little bit if you allow me here, Joseph.
Please.
And putting together a list of actors we want to see in Star Wars, it would be very hard for me and probably, it'd just be very hard for me, not to mention my own girlfriend, my partner, Heather Grace Hancock, a wonderful actor. Some of you might know her from like Schmodown and things like that, but she's been working for years and was on Wicked City on ABC, a lot of stuff. She's starring in a horror movie coming out soon that I saw and is just spectacular. And is a big Star Wars fan, particularly really wants to hold a lightsaber with a red blade at some point in her life. And I would be remiss if I didn't say I would love to see a witchy redheaded villain in Star Wars. I don't know. I would love to see it. So that's all.
All right. So Heather Grace Hancock in The Night Sister. I'm totally down with that. Totally down with that. You know what? And I'll throw out there that when they eventually make the Lolilu Primark Disney Plus series, that's just all about this great old school entertainer, thespian, upside down frog in a jar, that I would like to cast my wife, Sarah Scrimshaw, as a dancer and backup singer. Sarah is an amazing dancer, and I would love to see her dancing in the galaxy far, far away.
this is awesome and this is just. And now, I've never been a giant fan of fan fiction films, but now, you know, maybe we got to do it. But no, I want them both in the real, real Star Wars, friends.
That's okay. Right. Real Star Wars.
I have thought about this too, you know, because of what I do, you know, these podcasts, Game of Thrones and Star Wars and all those kind of things. If Grace was ever up for like one of those roles, I got to imagine she couldn't tell me at all. Like, I might not know until like it's announced. Like, cause it'd be like, is your partner like a Star Wars podcaster? And no, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. You can't tell him. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if she were cast for something that had not yet been announced. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we would record on Monday, and then later on Monday, that news would come out and we'd have to record a special episode. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great. So anyways, those are our choices. Sarah Scrimshaw, Heather Grace Hancock in Star Wars. And that's the show. No, episode 107. All right. That is a great way to start the show. But Joseph, let's get to the list we compiled here, beginning with your number five.
My number five is somebody that I think people who are in general genre fans will know, and it is Danai Gurira. She is, of course, extremely well known for being Michonne in The Walking Dead, but also in the Black Panther, the MCU films Okoye. She's just a phenomenal actor with great intensity. I think she is somebody who comes up in fan casting partially because her character in The Walking Dead, Michonne, is a character whose weapon of choice is a blade. That is kind of the slightly over the top shtick of the whole Walking Dead world. I like is that the entire world collapses, and then it looks like the first thing everybody does is like, what's my signature weapon gonna be? Am I a sword person, a stapler person? Do I have a revolver? But that's one of the things that really made the character stand out is, you know, the coolness of the blade, especially when she first burst onto the scene. So I think people can really see her as a blade wielder, and that is definitely a part of it for me. Of you can just she has the skills. You can picture this phenomenal performer swinging that blade, but she's just got on Walking Dead and in the MCU, but you know, Walking Dead in particular, because we've got to spend more time with her there. She has this mix of great intensity. Like,
yes,
you know, if she were playing a Jedi who told you this is the way it's going to be. That is the way it is going to be. But such a great actor that everything, none of it ever comes off as like, I'm a badass because that's cool. It's all so clearly stemming from pain, from love, from fear. You know, she can portray the badass where everything is flowing from real, true human emotion really well. And another thing about her is that she is a playwright, had a ton of stuff produced and, you know, had a lot of stuff that she herself is in, but has also, of course, just created other works that other people have been in. And this is my bias since I am both a writer-performer type. I'm always really intrigued to see what an actor is going to bring when they are also somebody who is really used to breaking down those questions of asking, why are we telling this story? What is the shape of this story? Not just what is my journey as an actor, what am I playing in this scene, but how is that helping all the other characters' journeys in this scene? I always have a little bit of a bias that I am really interested to see writers who are also actors, performers, get to take on complex roles, because I think they approach them with a little bit of that writing machinery in their brain as well.
This is a wonderful choice, and you're so right. The intensity that is, I don't want to say the still waters running deep, but just like that's my memory when you say her name. That's what I think of. Just this quiet, strong intensity, and that brings to the characters. And it's so funny. This is a weird story. Comic Con, I think 2014. I was at a press breakfast covering it with the Schmoes for The Walking Dead. Now I don't watch The Walking Dead. Nothing, no comment on the show or anything for me. I zombies. I don't know. I get scared easily. I don't watch it. So we were at a table. It was a breakfast, and like you're at the table as press, whatever that is, with cast members. And there was David Naughton, who was like the governor, This was like when he was the villain on the show, and he's there, and he and Force Awakens, you know, we don't know. We knew a new Star Wars was coming, and he's just holding court and telling stories. I was sitting next to her and I felt so bad. And she was having poking at her eggs and fruit on a plate. And I remember we were both, I didn't know what to do. And I think she kind of was like, why am I here? I don't know what to do. And she hit the great moment where I just was like, hey, hi, how are you doing? She's like, I'm good. And there was like a conversation. I want to go back to that and just be like, what do you think about Star Wars? What do you think about it? Because she just since then has just blown up to be this powerful performer that she always was, clearly. But you get that shot and you see it. And I go back to that moment. So I'm so glad you brought her up, because this is the name that, you know, whether she was like a Santa Staros type of character or someone completely new, I think she could just bring some levels to that kind of performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she is some of these the people on my list. I have like, I don't know exactly what they do. I'll kind of bumble through and figure it out. But it'd be cool to see them bring their different energy to Star Wars. She is one of those people who just feels like she would be so good at being a Jedi, in particular, a Jedi in turmoil. You know, mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned on the show before. Like, I've got like some notes written down of just like this. This kind of movie story idea that is a Jedi in trouble. And when I imagine the story, it's always Danai Gurira that I see in the role.
Ooh, it's great. Can we get a go picture on that? I'm looking at Hollywood. Hollywood, can we get a go picture?
I would love a go picture on that. But I also just love it as my own little Star Wars fan fiction bouncing around in my head. But that's, that's my number five.
Great start to the list here. My number five. All right. In my proper list here, there might be some runner-ups and honorable mentions. In my proper list, I work very hard to limit myself to one Game of Thrones actor. Okay. I love that series. I love Song of Ice and Fire. I love Game of Thrones. It's not just a TV show to me. It is another world that I love to roll around with and analyze and think about. And I'm moved by so many of the performances. So in that vein, I could literally choose 50 names. And oddly enough, many of them, because of the same casting office, Nina Gold, I believe, they show up all through the sequel trilogies and their other Star Wars movies and TV shows. Captain Kennedy, Mark Lewis Jones comes to mind also. I want Charles Dance. Known to so many now as Tywin Lannister, but just an actor who's been around for so many things and brings talk about intensity. It's a name, when you talk about Game of Thrones actors in Star Wars, his is the name that comes up, because just, I think, the imposing nature of Tywin Lannister, and I don't want to just typecast, but I think something like that in Star Wars would work. Is he a dark side user or some kind of, I don't know. I almost want him as some sort of leader, some sort of politician, and how ominous that could be, but also what he brings to it and maybe causes you to dig deeper or question, or, you know, to me, sometimes Tywin Lannister is a bad villain, so to speak, in the Star Wars or in the Game of Thrones world. But there's some, especially in season two, you see some other sides and you start to, what is about him in there, you know, but then you see his flaws, and his flaws are what brings him down. I would love that in some sort of, not Palpatine like, where it doesn't need to be connected to the dark side at the core of it all, but just like an actual politician leader and the layers that he could bring to that and the intensity. That word again, I just would love to see him play around in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of reasons that he is a big fan cast for Star Wars. I think there's just those like direct connections, almost just like to Tarkin and Dooku, in that he's got this like, I am a proper, you know, man of culture who speaks with precision, and it really just feels like he has Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee, that energy where he knows every correct thing about society, but will also murder you. Like that, he will correct you about the salad fork, and he will also put it in your eye if you cross him. Right?
Absolutely. No one wants a fork in the eye, but yeah, absolutely. Again, something in Star Wars about that. It's Palpatine like. I keep going back to that, but. Just where it's a little more confusing in terms of what you're rooting for.
Yeah, and I think that's just a mark of a great actor who you can disagree with every choice you make, and you kind of despise them when you see them through other characters' eyes, but they themselves are so compelling and human that you want to understand, like, why are you so awful?
Like, so I'm never overtly rooting for the character of Tywin. I want to make that clear, but it's just like, in that world, in that society, there's things he's doing that you would consider how to win. And it's like, do you want to win? And what all those kind of wonderful things. And he brings it. And he's such a, if you've seen interviews, he's not Tywin, but it's also hard to separate him from it. And so I just, similar to, you know, Stephen DeLane, Stannis Baratheon, those type of performers. So I would love to see him roaming around, maybe a lightsaber or two around him, but he doesn't necessarily have to have one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's also, you know, his story does really have some very strong connections to Star Wars to me, of that he is so concerned about legacy and the fear of, he is entirely motivated by the fear of loss and greed, right? In that point of like just being incredibly destructive to his own legacy because he's so afraid of losing it. I think the fact that that role carries such Star Wars themes also makes it really easy to imagine him in the galaxy far, far away.
I love it. Yeah. So again, literally 50 names from that show could be in the spot. I wanted to work hard to limit myself to one, and I went with Charles and Dance. All right. That is my number five. Sir, what is your number four?
My number four is, this one was a tough one. It was a hard decision for me, but this was one of those just gut check. This is truly, truly what you want. And it is Timothy Dalton.
Yes.
This whole list, you know, you and I made such a meal out of the fact that that initial casting announcement for season one of Mandalorian was just like a collection of grizzled weirdos. You know, it would be so easy to make this all Charles Dances and Timothy Daltons. And I tried to contain myself from that. But man, I have a great childhood fondness for him. He was my first James Bond in the movie theaters. I had read at kind of a shockingly young age all of the actual Ian Fleming James Bond novels. And there were parts I understood and other parts about exactly what kind of steak he was eating that I did not understand at all as a child. But when Timothy Dalton was coming in, it into Living Daylights, I was super excited for it. I bought the Starlog magazine that was celebrating the 10th anniversary of Star Wars and also had a huge article about the Living Daylights. And it has this great interview with Timothy Dalton about how they are taking Bond a little bit back to his Ian Fleming roots, including that he was going to be a serial monogamist. You know, in the books, James Bond has a relationship per book, pretty much, and then they fall apart. I didn't understand how to pronounce monogamist, so I thought it was pronounced monogamist. I kept telling people, James Bond's going to be monogamist in the Living Daylights. So anyway, loved him as Bond. He's got this, he can have warmth and humor, but he has this, like, can have this deadly seriousness to him while also just exuding charm. He's played a villainous Time Lord on Doctor Who. I'm spacing the name of the great fantasy show that he was on. It will come back to it. But yeah, so he pops up here and there in great roles, this great mix of kind of a scary and serious and also with just this, like, there's always this little bit of charm and sparkle in his eyes. Doom Patrol he's been on recently, and he's great. So, yeah, just Timothy Dalton just has an undeniable charm and edge to him that I could see him as an elder cranky Jedi. I could see him as a Sith. I could see him as just a leader of a planet. I could see him as, like, an aging scoundrel. Like, he could stretch in lots of different ways.
Yeah, you know what's... such a fan of this choice here because I grew up too looking at The Bond stuff just not fair to him, right? There was at some point where it was like he was overlooked, I think. And I think I hear a lot of conversations of people kind of rediscovering his take on Bond. And I think that's wonderful. And I think a lot of that, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Joseph, came out of 2007's Hot Fuzz, when he kind of reemerged a little bit more in the pop culture landscape. And he obviously been working for years and never that he went away. But like suddenly you saw him in a different light and it's like, holy, that's Timothy Dalton, man. And I love Hot Fuzz so much, but I love him in it because I could see him being like the ally you got to go to, but you don't trust. And there's good reason to running a casino in Star Wars or running something like that where you're swarmy, but also you need him in this moment. And do you trust him? Can you? And him just kind of being a proprietor of sin in Star Wars at a casino or something like that.
Yes, you know, that is, you're really putting your finger on this particular energy that he's had in a bunch of roles that he plays really well. Hot Fuzz, I absolutely love. I got too distracted by talking about James Bond to bring it up. Probably one of my top 10 movies, you know, definitely top 10 comedies. I think it's a perfect comedy. And he does such a great job of taking what we know about him of like intense, you know, gentle English gentleman. But what's behind the sparkle in that eyes? Is that smile sincere? And absolutely uses it for a great comedy in Hot Fuzz. But then the other show I was trying to remember, Penny Dreadful. That he's a, you know, an older man who's lost a lot, who's, you know, getting up there, but still out there in the fight against darkness. But there's also like definitely some issues of can you trust him or not? The first season of Doom Patrol is a lot of this charming, apparently kind, brilliant man, but can we trust him? He often plays, can we trust him? Even in the Bond movies, one of the reasons that I like those Bond movies more is they've got some silly gadgets. They've got some of the just kind of classic James Bond stuff. But he plays Bond as a spy, not an action hero. License to Kill in particular, that's one that people are really divided on, and it's got some like really bold, silly stuff of like, you know, exploding toothpaste like that. But that is an espionage film where he literally goes undercover and spends a bunch of time lying, which Bond doesn't normally do. Normally he gets sent undercover and is immediately like to the villain, like, hey, I think you're an asshole. And then, you know, he doesn't normally spy well in a lot of License to Kill is actual espionage with this question of, can we trust Bond? Can we believe Bond? And yeah, it's just, I would love to see Timothy Dalton in Star Wars in a can we trust him role.
Ooh, yeah. All right. You know, when you start to, it gets me, it's so funny. It just gets me excited. It takes me back to like 2013, 2014, following the sale of Lucasfilm 2012. This was kind of a lot of the conversations on podcasts and even on Schmoes. We did this a lot. We even had a big fantasy draft of actors we'd love to see in episode 7. And this kind of, it just gets you excited for possibilities. We always love to temper our excitement with realism and temper our expectations. Doesn't mean we want to take away joy. And this has been a fun conversation. So Timothy Dalton, that's a great entry, sir.
Excellent. I can't wait to see Charles Dance and Timothy Dalton together.
And together again in Star Wars. My number four is, again, keep with this theme of I love the new actors coming up. I love, you know, getting new voices, new faces. I love it. And I think that's key to Star Wars. It's what George wanted to do, like you were touching upon, Joseph. But I also want to see performers that over the years have just I've connected with on different times, different levels, different movies. And my number four is Lucy Liu.
Ooh,
I am a I'm a fan of Kill Bill Volume 1. 2, yeah, I'm good with 2 too, but I just really do. I am a Kill Bill Volume 1 fan for what it is, better or worse, I guess. And
I can hear 1,000 people screaming at you. They're all one movie.
Yeah, it's correct. Right? So I apologize. This is why I'm not on movie talk shows as much anymore.
No, I mean that jokingly. I think they are both one story and two separate films.
Yes, absolutely. Same album, different songs. I love her as Oren Ishii, and I think it doesn't necessarily need to be you know, warrior with sword that she needs to do. We're looking at specific roles, even Timothy Dalton, Hot Fuzz, and you just kind of bringing out what they could do. And her, I was initially familiar with her on like TV work, that kind of stuff. And then when that movie came out, it just was a different energy, a different level, and a different kind of threat You know, she was not this giant demonstrative person, but you feared her every second. You feared the tension of what she could do. And I loved the power that was around her and that was coming from her in that movie. And if we're going to different eras of Star Wars, especially in the Old Republic or High Republic, we're starting to look that direction. She's someone to me that could bring some kind of bring a power to an older tale in Star Wars, if you know what I mean. Like looking to the past and I just building off of that performance and just what she can bring. I just think it would be really interesting, something we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and I think that there is this power for older actors, you know, not that she is, you know, ancient by any means, you know, she's not 25, that can bring to these kind of roles that really quiet strength of whatever problem we're going through. I have been through something similar before, and I maybe know something, you know, the youthful kids who are doing lots of flips don't know.
Yes. Oh, that's a great way to look at it. I love what you touched upon there of just like, yeah, I got it. You got all the fancy weapons and you're flipping around. Let me show you how to do it.
Yeah, but whether it's like verbal or literally physically with a blade or a weapon, it's like you do all your flips and I know the one strike I need to make.
Yeah. That's exactly the energy I want. And that to me is, you know, I'm looking at her long list of credits here as we talk, but again, I do keep going to Kill Bill. Of everything I remember watching that movie, it's just like it was such a great power. You talk about the quiet strength. I love that there. So
no,
yeah.
I'm with you on that casting choice and on Kill Bill. I enjoy Kill Bill, but that first movie in particular that I remember just like that true deep fear of like, Uma Thurman's not, you know, the bride's not getting through this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And my first she was in Charlie's Angels, a lot of stuff in there. My first real just weekly exposure to her was Ally McBeal. I used to watch Ally McBeal weekly and she was on there for several seasons and
72 episodes says Wikipedia. That's a lot of Ally McBeal.
That is. So that is my number four, Lucy Liu in Star Wars. Sir, we are now up to your number three, right?
Yep.
Did I count? Right?
Yeah, we can count.
I'm having so much fun just with our discussions. I've lost track of numbers, but you're number three.
My number three, this is, you know, it's hard also with the, like you were saying with the Game of Thrones, to not make this just a conversation of, who from the MCU should jump over and do Star Wars who hasn't already, right? Yeah. So my one pick from, I think it's the only one pick, from MCU is Hayley Atwell. Plays Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she comes up in my list of, you know, almost anything about any actor. What actor do you want to see? Because I think that she has this just utterly great mix of qualities. I don't know. I think you and I are both going a lot to that sort of that strength, the sort of quiet, composed strength that she absolutely does have. That is Peggy Carter. But I think she's really great with her comedy in a lot of the Peggy Carter moments. Because not only is she in the Captain America films, you know, particularly the first Avenger. But there was a 2-season Peggy Carter show that she's really great in, and much like you know, we're getting now with WandaVision or you know, with Mandalorian, the Peggy Carter show was able to have a lot more nuance and a lot more quiet moments, and we got to see Peggy Carter, you know, in Captain America: The First Avenger, she's got you know, a legitimate high level position in the Allied forces and you know, she's the boss. And then the story of the Peggy Carter TV show is the war is over, and that sort of special, like, social things kind of shifted during the war. Well, let's go back to basics. You're still an agent, but you're also, you know, a woman in the 40s. And, you know, she got to act all of that of like, I have these skills. I have these knowledge. I have experienced things that a bunch of my fellow agents have not, but I need to fight for, you know, to be respected and to actually get the job done and like save people's lives while also not being told to, you know, stay in the office and do the paperwork. And she played all that stuff. The anger of that, the pain of that, just the technical sort of frustration, the how do I do an end run around systems that don't want that want to stop me from using my abilities to help people? How do I do an end run around those? It was such a multifaceted performance that it made me just think so highly of her in the big picture. And then she doesn't get to do a ton, but she's also in Christopher Robin. It is a team up. She is married to Ewan McGregor, so it is a Agent Peggy Carter is married to Obi-Wan Kenobi and frustrated with him for spending too much time at work with Seal Bibble.
Oliver Ford Davies. There you go. Another Game of Thrones actor as well. So it's awesome.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, she is high up on my list of actors I would love to see in Star Wars.
That's a great choice. Great choice. Man, I love doing this. I got to tell you something, man. This is maybe an off-air conversation. I was expecting always a great conversation, but I am finding myself even more excited for our choices here than I even thought before pressing record. Folks, we can, we've been doing this for so long, even we surprise ourselves sometimes. All right? All right?
Yeah.
All right, my number three is this. I am going back to someone who absolutely captivated me in 1989, and no matter what he has done since, and he's done a lot of varied roles, been acknowledged as a great performer and has a lot of fans and different genres, but in 1989, he moved me. He shook my core, and that is Andre Brower. Now, Andre Brower, a lot of people I know, was Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is Captain Holt, and Men of a Certain Age that show for a while. He's done a lot of things. Done a lot of things, man. He's been working since 1989, which, by the way, doesn't mean that's when he started. But he first appears in a bunch of Kojak TV movies as Detective Winston Blake. Now, that is not where he pulled me in, but it's so you look at his credits, he's just, that's what he's doing. But sandwiched in between these Telly Savalas Kojak TV movies is his performance as Corporal Thomas Sears in Glory. And Glory is one of my favorite movies, and I watched it in junior high. My history teacher in eighth grade was a Civil War reenactor, and so he spent most of the year, probably even outside of the curriculum, just we studied the Civil War, and all of the everything about it as best you could at the time. And so in Glory, this movie about the horrors of war and why we're fighting, and Denzel Washington and all the accolades he received for that. Morgan Freeman's in there. And I love Matthew Broderick in that role. But Andre Brower brought this thing of where I connected to. He wanted to join the cause. He felt he needed to. He felt he wanted to. But it was horrific, and it was scary, and it was tough. And he cried, and he broke down, and he showed some vulnerability, but also, you know, he had to step up. And it was so powerful, and it kind of shook me as a young kid going, you know, I don't know, you know, my father and uncle were in the Navy. I never ended up going to the military, but you don't know, it's like, if there's a war, am I going to have to fight? And would I want to fight? And would I be afraid? And would I be tough? And would I be all of it? And I just was always moved by his performance. And no matter what he went on to do, every time I'd see him, I'd smile. Be like, oh, yeah, Andre Brower from Glory. I've never forgotten that performance. So I would love to see that in Star Wars, because to me, a lot of that lines up. You and I have been diving into the Clone Wars and why we fight and your connections and the doubts and all those things. If he's part of the rebellion or some other big fight, I could see him bringing that multi-layered conversation to the war in Star Wars. And I think it would be done with the grace and power he's exhibited in every role.
Oh, wow. That is great. I am not as familiar with his work. I think in high school, I think we watched the first half of Glory, but it was really just one of the teachers who kind of didn't want to teach, going like, here's the Civil War.
Had those teams too.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much I got out of that. But yeah, I'm not super familiar with Glory. I think I've probably seen it in its entirety, but that's the one I got to check out. I also have not watched like a ton of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I've caught a little bit here and there.
Same.
But just honestly, like when there's just like a clip on social media or a commercial, he's always so damn funny and in a great place that can play that sort of like I am an official, I'm in charge, and then, you know, subvert that energy in a great way. And for me, it's always a super bonus when an actor is really understands comedy, but also kind of understands how to take their own sort of stature, their own sort of energy, and convert that to comedy.
Mm. Yeah, I despite being a fan of a lot of people on that show and a lot of people I know and love and trust, always recommended me Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I don't watch a lot of TV as much as I used to. And even though the show was on for a very long time, or kind of still going, got some Second Life, right? But again, I'd see clips and I'd see him and love what he brings. And you're right, having a little the ability to skate on the ice of comedy and drama is a great thing to have in Star Wars, because you forget, it's not all dark and gritty.
No, I mean, think of how much, like, yeah, I mean, Harrison Ford is a renowned actor, but he's got comedy chops, and that's, you know, a huge part of what you know makes Han Solo as charming as he is. I mean, the talk about comedy, Carrie Fisher, like, it's important be able to deftly pivot from great drama and comedy. You know, actually, Mark Hamill in Last Jedi, it's one of the things that makes his performance so amazing, the way he can absolutely land a joke in the middle of a really important scene. That whole, you know, where are you from? Okay, Jakku, that is nowhere. Anyway, like, he lands the joke and gets back into it. You know, it's a valuable skill in Star Wars in particular.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I love it. It's dancing on it indeed. Great stuff on that Hamill pool. So that is my number three, Andre Brower. What is your number two, sir?
My number two is one of the actors who is a little bit newer to the scene compared to some of the people that you and I first encountered in the late 80s. and I know she's done multiple things, but I really only know her from a specific role on the good old CW, and that is Tala Ash. Tala Ash is on Legends of Tomorrow, which is a spin-off of, you know, what is called on CW the Arrowverse, started with the television show Arrow, based on Green Arrow, when I think they were still they're still trying to ride that line of like, okay, CW is generally a younger, very attractive people running around and doing things, right? Well, that kind of works with superheroes, but we're not sure if people will really lean into the superhero thing. So we're not even going to call it Green Arrow. We're just going to call it Arrow. Mm. And when it started, I got so annoyed with that as a, you know, genre fan of like, you don't even have the spine to call it Green Arrow. You think people are going to laugh at a color, so you're going to call it Arrow. I'm not going to watch that. And then, you know, I had other fans tell me like, it's actually really great. And loved that show. So we had been following many of the spinoffs. Legends of Tomorrow has kind of, it's a time travel spinoff of Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really carved out its own space by just leaning into its bonkers. They're really not afraid of big comedy. One of their running villains is a just giant stuffed toy that keeps getting possessed
right,
in different ways. And it's basically a cute, cuddly, giant kaiju. So in one of the seasons, once the show had been up and running for a while, there's just this one episode and there is what at the time I wasn't plugged in enough to know that she'd been cast as a new character. And there was what I thought was a character of the week. And I was like, it sucks that this is just a character of the week because this actor is amazing. Mm. And it is, I think, similar to things that I've been saying before, what's amazing about her. But then by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, good. She's joining the cast. It was like that kind of thing of like I stood up, you know, and noticed how different this actor was. And it is that mix of being able to absolutely play drama, absolutely do comedy. But I think it's something that's super important to Star Wars. Why Tala Ash comes to mind in particular is there's just this huge spark of humanity from her, which is to say that in heightened things like superheroes or Star Wars, to me, it's extra valuable when somebody can really, really not just make you feel that all of the science fiction fantasy stuff is believable, but they really feel like a human. And you feel like with her character on Legends of Tomorrow, Zari, you feel like you could have the exact same kind of relatable conversation with her about if you prefer coffee or tea in the morning as you have about her wind totem, you know, and her resurrected brother. Like there's an equal amount of like humanity regardless of the science fiction nature of it. And she's just got that spark that just makes the character kind of jump off the screen and feel like a person that you would meet in real life.
That's great. See, you know, you're less familiar with the work of Andre Brower. I am less familiar with the work of Tala Ash, and you got me sold.
Yeah. So I think she would be a great addition to the Star Wars verse. And as I wanted to pick some actors also who are, you know, a little bit younger. And I think people who know her from she was on As the World Turns for 26 episodes, which isn't much for a soap opera.
Yeah. Right.
Then lots of little things. She was on Smash for a few episodes. So she'd be the kind of person that for a lot of people, if they knew Legends of Tomorrow, if they're big CW Arrowverse fans, they'd be like, oh, Zari is in Star Wars. But for a lot of people, it would be this introduction to this phenomenal actor.
Oh, yeah, that is great. That is great. Man, good number two, sir. Well put. And I don't know, I'm not making a statement with my list, but I just kept going older because I just, I just, again, I look at Mando season two and a lot of performers of all ages, but I like you and I love our grizzled weirdos, but I just love seeing some seasoned faces on my TV screen in my Star Wars. It was really
seasoned faces is such a nicer way to say it.
That's what I have to say every morning in the mirror, sir. That's that. So here's my number two. It's going to be a same type of thing here, but one of my favorites, one of my all time favorites. If you've heard me on Schmoes, if you heard me anywhere, everyone knows this is one of my favorite actors of all time. First introduced to her in the late 80s, actually more specifically the early 90s with Last Mohicans, Unlawful Entry, Blink, all these movies. I am a giant Madeline Stowe fan. All right. And Madeline Stowe kind of got a little bit of a pop culture rebirth with Revenge. Remember Revenge and on TV in 2011 to 2015?
Oh, yeah.
She was in there as Victoria Grayson. And I just always have loved what she brings. And Last Mohicans, one of my favorite movies. And her take as Cora Monroe is just it's always just been so intriguing and powerful. And I think, you know, some sort of, I'll say Mon Mothma-like, but some sort of leader in Star Wars with so much on her shoulders. And, you know, Revenge, you could have a little devious side too, or, a little, you know, maybe you can't trust her as well. But I just would love to see her as kind of an elder stateswoman of importance in Star Wars, no matter the era, no matter what's there. I just could see her bringing a lot of empathy and compassion to a leadership role where, unlike, say, Charles Dance, there's a little brutal side to him where she's got that side because, again, almost like Leia, just the weight of so much on her shoulders and the big decisions and what they mean and analyze them. I would love that. I'm such a fan. It is just always, she's always been one of my favorite performers. And so Madeline Stowe is my number two choice here on the list today.
That is great. She is one of those people that when I see her on the old television, I'm like, oh yes, her. Like, because I don't have a specific relationship with any specific movie, but somebody who's been around for so long that I have clearly seen her in things. I see she was in The Two Jakes.
Yes,
I have not seen that in years. But here's my controversial take: I don't think it was as good as Chinatown.
yeah, I don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then just scrolling through, like, I have probably been seeing this actor for large chunks of my life. She was on The Amazing Spider-Man, Little House on the Prairie, Trapper John, M.D.
Yes.
We were talking about MASH before. So, yeah, I love what you're saying about what a performer like that who has a ton of lived experience can bring to a role like a Mon Mothma or a Leia or a leader who has something on her shoulders.
Right. Yeah. And she had this great run from like 91 to 95. And she married to Brian Benben. A lot of you remember Brian Benben from that HBO show. What was it? The first big show. Why did I just draw a blank on Dream On. It's a bad movie, but I love it. And in high school, I just was all about this movie. It's she played the character of Cody Zamora in Bad Girls, which was this kind of all female led Western movie. Robert Loggia. I love Robert. Robert Loggia. Mr. President, I want to stand by your side. Robert Loggia's in him. If you need that Leia type too, that's I'm a leader. I've got a lot on my heart, my shoulders, but you put a blaster in my hands, I'm taking you down. I think that's another example of what she could do. So there you go.
Good choice.
There you go. All right, Ken, stop talking about Madeline Stowe. Often we like to take breaks and do runners up, but I think we're going to power through with no break here, Joseph. And I think it would be a good time to list our runner up choices. These are actors we want in Star Wars and almost made the list. And maybe according to us now, they were just too young. Do you have any choices?
I absolutely do. I had put totally unknown actors in my runner up, so they're definitely there. Tatiana Maslany has also been on my list. She is from Orphan Black is where a lot of people would know her. It's been in various discussions that she's been up for specific roles in Rogue One, in Rogue One, other things in Star Wars. It's something I think there's even been, ooh, she's been cast. No, she hasn't.
Yeah.
And we even went through that up and down with She-Hulk, but now confirmed she is She-Hulk, which I'm so excited for. If people haven't seen Orphan Black, it is very weird, very different science fiction show. It's its own Clone Wars. The story is that there are clones and she plays most of them. And not only is she just like a great actor who absolutely comedy, drama, action, you know, she is like a not a triple threat, like a, I don't know, 18 threat. But when you see somebody who does that specific acting challenge of believably playing like five different characters in a scene with herself,
right?
There's, you know, sometimes it is that actors, a lot of actors can do that and they don't get the opportunity, but it is challenging. And to see her do that for five seasons and just entirely, like, you completely forget that these three clones who are in this scene together are the same actor. And I just want to see that level of skill unleashed on the galaxy. You know, it'd be great. Yeah. You know, they love Star Wars loves twins. Let Tatiana Maslany play both twins.
That's you're shaking memories of it. I think being on movie chat shows before talking about her as if she was cast in Star Wars. Some of the rumors seem to get to that point. You know, I kind of remember that. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's a high up one. This is kind of a different one that I threw in there. Phil Lamar, live action.
Yeah.
Phil Lamar.
Oh, Phil. Yes.
Cause he's obviously done a ton of great voice work, in the Clone Wars. But I would love, he's such a great guy. I had such a fascinating career from sketch comedy to live action to Pulp Fiction to a huge, huge catalog of work as a voice actor. It would be great to see Phil Lamar in live action. I kind of see, not that I wouldn't want him to have a huge role, but I really can see him playing a frustrated politician type.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love Phil Lamar. I was training at the Groundlings when he was a main company member back at the late 90s, early 2000s. And I can confirm he doesn't need a VO booth to be amazing. You know, he's just so wonderful. He's obviously had a wide range of roles all through his career, but that's a great choice, sir. Something fun.
Yeah. Do you want me to finish my list or do you want to bounce back and forth?
I'll bounce back and forth here. I'm going to go to. So I don't know. This is funny. I kind of went in the same spot. I was going to say a friend of the show, Steven Stanton, who voices so many great characters in Star Wars. If Filoni's casting all these shows, there's anything to do with the Mando season 3 and Ahsoka and everything, throw Steven Stanton, great voiceover performer. Just throw him a role as like an Imperial officer.
Yeah.
You know, Raddus and Meeber Gascon and Obi-Wan in the desert, Tarkin, all these roles he's done. He's such a part of it. I would just love a little like, hey, there's Steven Stead in Star Wars live action. So I'm campaigning for that here on the show, I guess.
I absolutely support that. So many great roles in video games, too. Like, I remember, a year ago now, where it came up on Twitter that he was involved in Bioshock. And I was like, what? You're involved in everything that is good, Steven Stan.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a swell chap, indeed. So that's on my list, too, as well. And then I think also kind of inspired by, like, Amy Sedaris in Mandalorian and some of those kind of, I don't even want to say quirkier characters and just put them in that corner there. But in that vein, I was trying to cast someone like that. And I went to one of my favorite SNL performers. I love Kate McKinnon.
Oh.
And I think she's could do some different things. But I think that kind of character in Star Wars, too, could work. Not that I always need her to be the kind of quirky weirdo. But I think looking at Peli in Mandalorian, she could bring that same kind of energy to a performance.
Yeah, that's a great, great choice.
So, what do you got on more runner-ups?
Okay, I got a couple weird ones. I got two weird ones and another very strong one. So I'll end with the strong one. My weird ones are, you know, I inspired like you of Favreau's stated desire to bring people from different worlds and different energies into Star Wars.
Right.
I figured like we got to throw a musician in there. Let's throw Tom Waits into Star Wars.
Oh, thank you, sir. Yes, I almost missed a moment. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it'd be great to cast him as a bartender or a scoundrel or a barfly. But, you know, I think Tom Waits could do a lot of good in the galaxy.
Yeah, and I know his name came up at Force Center recently, too. And we talked about the Coen brothers, Ballad of Buster Scruggs. But again, I think I mentioned that. Check out Mystery Men 1999 if you haven't seen it. He's so great in there as kind of this weird weapons creator guy.
Yes. Yeah. He's so funny in that. In the Bram Stoker's Dracula, that isn't really Bram Stoker's Dracula, but that's the name of the movie. He's great at eating flies in that.
There you go.
You could do that in Star Wars too. This is probably one of my most different choices, but I think it could surprise everyone. I am a big fan of the show Riverdale, another CW show. And at first I was like, I don't think that I need to watch the very stereotypically attractive young people all be like, hey, it's the old Archie cartoon, but with a lot more violence and sex than I remember from the strips. So at first I was like, eh. But the creators, the main creator is super inspired by Twin Peaks, cast one of the great actors from Twin Peaks as one of the parents' characters. So I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And it is the reason I like Riverdale, and I think some of our listeners might be like, what the hell? Riverdale is something that just absolutely owns what it is. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely absurdly over the top. One of the famous plot points is Archie fights a bear at one point. And then they just make a joke about it throughout it. Like every once in a while, Archie's just like, remember when I fought that bear? Like it knows what it is. It's shot beautifully. It cares about the characters and their emotional truths, but it is also like, let's just really take the gloves off and be weird and have fun. So that's why I like Riverdale. All of that is to say, the character of Cheryl Blossom is played by Madeline Petch, I believe is how you pronounce her name. I feel bad for bringing this up because I think if there were a Star Wars casting call, Grace would probably have to audition against this particular actor.
Yeah, so funny that you don't know how many times people have even sent pictures of this actor to Grace and going, oh, you look, your new headshots look great.
I'm sure she gets it a lot. But yeah, so the reason that I put her on my list is, young actor, definitely into the redhead thing. They lean into that in Riverdale. The character Cheryl Blossom has a funny joke about how she personally owns the color red.
Yes.
But the character is she starts out as maybe a stereotype of the mean girl who's going to run the school. But then they immediately start pulling back the layers and you see like the trauma that has led to this from a super dysfunctional family. And this actor is just so great at doing everything from the what you expect on CW of like the amazing song and dance routine at the high school musical to just playing really real emotions of trauma within this super bizarre, super heightened world. And I think she's one of those actors that people, if it was announced she got cast, you know, the Riverdale stands would be like, yeah. Other people would be like, what's she doing here? And they would be shocked because she's a phenomenal actor. And I think I want to see some people who are maybe, you know, really associated with where they're from get that chance to take a step into something different if the actor wants to and realize they are not just the thing they started as, right? The same way, like Tom Hanks is not bosom buddies guy, but when he first started showing up in drama roles, people were like, bosom buddies guy is going to do a serious movie, right? And, you know, we got to give people room to break out of the niches that they're put in.
That is a great reference because you and I are of that generation where we live that, like, why Splash got that guy? Like, what? I think it's documented enough, but I always want to do a documentary called When Keaton Was Batman and just his casting and the what the hell are you doing type of things. Love that. And you see it today, like even some like Robert Pattinson or Kristen Stewart, and just because of the Twilight movies and they're so big and it's just like, you know, they're looked at in a certain way and those performers are never looked at differently again. It's just not fair. I mean, they're cashing checks, whatever, if you want to look at it that way too. But also I love seeing those kind of performers break out, like you said. And so this is a great example of that.
Yeah. Great reminder always that just because people as a performer lean into something that's a very specific style, that doesn't mean that's the only thing they can do. The final one for me, and almost made my top five, but I needed to juggle things around. And that is Alexander Siddig. He has been in many things, including Game of Thrones. He's my he's my Game of Thrones actor. He's been in 24, popped up in a lot of different things. But my great love of him is because he is Dr. Julian Bashir on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. A big Star Trek fan. Deep Space Nine is my favorite of the shows. My wife and I just finished watching the entire series. He is got. He can do so many things. He's super funny, super charming. Like he did in Game of Thrones, he can play the, you know, the leader with a lot of gravitas in history. But I'd love to see him cast in a role where he gets to, maybe that's what you think he is, a leader with all this gravitas and all this weight on his shoulder. But he still has all of that sort of a spark and charm that young Julian Bashir did.
That's a great choice. Hey, anyone from Game of Thrones works for me.
And so so many people from the Dorne side of the story are making their way into Star Wars.
We did not get a chance to talk about Indira Varma yet. We will upcoming on Force Center if you're listening in order. So a couple final runner-ups for me. You know, it's funny you mentioned Game of Thrones, Joseph. I was like, nah, I'm going to cheat and slip one more in. All right. And this is Jacob Anderson. A lot of you know him as Grey Worm on Game of Thrones. He's got an acting career, I think, that at one point, because he's also a musician and it's known for that. And I think there was this narrative of just like, oh, they plucked this, this singer to be in Game of Thrones. He's got a resume. He's been doing it for a bit. And he's so good as Grey Worm and a little bit of I see a lot of what Clone Wars and how they analyze the clones finding their identity in a fight, and what he did as an unsullied slave soldier freed and fighting for Daenerys and all the stuff and all the complications and all the pain and all the suffering and all the victories that he brought to the role. It is that we keep saying intensity, quiet intensity. I really love what he did, and I never want to overlook Grey Worm as this important character in Game of Thrones to me. And I would love to see what he could do with a lightsaber in his hand. You know,
you are so right. He there's so much about that Grey Worm performance that does remind me of the Clone Wars of like, I'm a soldier. I have analyzed why I'm doing it and I believe in it. But there's also all this humanity being discovered as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love just the downtime with Natalie Emanuel, who's another great performer. I could probably toss in as well. But just like when they're trying to small talk and Tyrion's, you know, talk. What do you talk about? Patrol. What do you talk about? What do we do on patrol? Like, it's just one of my favorite things. Sweetness to the toughness. And I love that there. Final one for me. Then we're moving on to more choices. I'm not going to lie to you, Joseph. This is a little pandering. Okay. I follow me on this. I know he listens to the show, supports us, and he's great on Superstar. I'm submitting Colton Dunn, who is a great, funny performer in his own right. I'm submitting his name as kind of like a Ranger of the New Republic type. Like, I don't need him just to be the funny guy in the spaceship, but a good soldier trying to do right on the new frontier here in the New Republic era, something like that. It can bring some kind of comedy chops, which he has in just buckets full to Star Wars. And I love that he listens to Force Center too. It is a complete pander job for me. It's shame. But I also, Superstore is one of Grace's favorites. It's always on in our house. And whether I sit and watch it or not, it's always there. And so many great performers. I'm Mark McKinney, Kids in the Hall is one of my greatest comedy influences there. So I love watching the show for that. But Colton Dunn is great on that show. Check it out if you have. And as its run starts to come to an end. But there you go. Colton Dunn in Star Wars. I'm saying that.
Oh, not only is that a great choice, I think it is a great placement, right? Because we could have done this whole episode of who do you want and what do they play or what show are they on? But yeah, I can also absolutely see Colton Dunn flying through the outer rim with Carson Teva, right? And there is that extra comedy kind of needed, I think, from those soldiers who are kind of war weary and like, what's going on? And we have no support and we got to go do this. I think Colton Dunn would absolutely knock out of the park, have the honor of doing a storytelling show with him a couple of years back now. Is it? I don't know how time works, but anyway, great guy, great actor. And I think a great pick, Ken.
Thank you, sir. So now we are on to our number one choices here. The actors we want to see in Star Wars right now in 2021. We'll update this list at some other point. Sure, after all these people are cast in Star Wars based on this episode here, of course. I'll go with my number ones, and Joseph can close the show with his number one. Thought long and hard, thought about what I want in Star Wars. Do I want to break from my theme of seasoned performers and grizzled weirdos, all the things we kind of love in Star Wars? And nope, I'm going to combine it all into one. And one of my favorite performers, a lot of people love this guy. A lot of people have kind of fan cast him as well, based on a recent Star Wars book character and audio book character. I want Sam Elliott, and I guess I want him as Rael Avaros.
That is really, really great. You want him specifically to be lounging around in this sort of wrinkled Jedi robes, drinking whiskey and meeting ladies at the bar.
All of it. Or he could be a brand new character as well, as some kind of New Republic frontiersman as well, or even back in the High Republic era. It doesn't matter. I'm also a big fan of Tombstone, and can't deny that. I just love him in that as Virgil Earp. So and author, I mean, so much, and it'd be very hard for the mustache has got to be there too, but every once in a while he takes it off for the role, but it's so him. And yeah, you couldn't help but think of probably a lot of names. There's a lot of names with Rael Avaros, but especially when you heard the voice in the presentation in the audio drama, you're like, is that Sam Elliott? Are they doing Sam Elliott as a Jedi who likes to drink and have sex? Okay, I can get behind this. So I think it brings up, but it's Tombstone's particularly the stoic, not just even lawman, but the stoic character, the stoic, good-hearted individual who is there and is kind of grumpy and kind of coarse, but there's a heart that beats underneath it all. That's something that's kind of running through a lot of what we're talking about today. And Star Wars has that. Star Wars has the fun, has the zippy, but it also has the poignancy and great purpose. And I think it's that kind of a world-weary character that, I'm almost thinking of Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski. Just kind of, he's more the softer version of it there. Do you have to swear so much, dude? I could see him, not that I want to be a narrator, but I think he could bring a special, specific Sam Elliott energy to Star Wars.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about a character like Rael Avaros that he could play, they really own this idea about, like, it's not the surface stuff that matters, it's the heart that matters, mm-hmm. right? And you can hear him almost drawling that. Mm-hmm. How would you feel if it was Rael Avaros' story time where he does narrate some stories he's heard from the edge of the galaxy?
Yeah, I could be on the excitement trail for that. Yeah, I like that idea. Oh, let me tell you about the High Republic area, loading great storms. Yeah.
And do you feel that he's got in Star Wars? He's got a big mustache.
I think he has to.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, there's been a couple movies where it's off, and he's a good looking man, but it's off putting. It's off putting, you know. And it's like, it's so funny because like my beard is now real associated with me, but really that's kind of a new development. I mean, I've always had. I love. It's weird. One of my obsessions with the Beatles is also their various facial hair concoctions, and I'll be like, oh, that's a McCartney spring of 1970 beard, good job. So I've just always had beards and goatees, and but lately, just because I've got the old man salt and pepper beard, it's like I had to shave it one time, and people are like, who are you? So I need Sam Elliott to have the mustache is what I'm trying to say. I need it in Star Wars.
Yeah, just go all in, right? I mean, in this, I think this is a great number one because I think it is a decent prediction on Mandalorian eventually.
Yes.
He's got to pop up there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe Rael Avaros survived all the way till then.
Yeah. I can only hope. we'll see. Old man Avaros here in Star Wars. All right. That is my number one actor I want in Star Wars right now in 2021. Joseph, that's a bit of fun conversation, but what is your number one?
My number one is, it's definitely a personal one for me. It's an actor that I want to see a lot more of. It is an actor, from, some things I love. This is of course, the star of, The Lair of the White Worm and also in the Christopher Robin movie. And, you know, he was the doctor on Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi.
Oh yeah.
By far my number one, I am a long-term fan of Doctor Who, and you know, I almost put on this list any living actor who's played Doctor Who or is currently playing Doctor Who would be great in Star Wars, and I would love them. And there's been a lot of that, right, with the constant "Is Matt Smith in Rise of Skywalker or not?" discussion. And David Tennant has, you know, voiced a character. The Tenth Doctor has, you know, voiced Professor Huyang in the Clone Wars. Peter Capaldi. I truly believe every actor who's ever played the Doctor is a really great actor who's really brought something amazing. Peter Capaldi is the 12th Doctor. For me, it is my favorite Doctor, partially just because how amazing Peter Capaldi is with many of the things that we've said. He can play absolute intensity. He can truly scare the crap out of you. He is incredibly, incredibly funny. Just an amazing, sharp wit, that kind of thing where, like, you know, he makes a joke and it is entirely in his delivery. Like, they kind of stopped writing jokes for him because they just realized Peter will make it a joke. That kind of thing. Like, that was so sharp that, like, am I actually bleeding? That comedy, that wry energy and a little bit of anger is so sharp. So he's got that great comedy energy. But in the role of the 12th Doctor, what was written for him was basically a midlife to end of life crisis for the Doctor, where the Doctor is going through this process of really needing to rediscover who he is and if he wants to continue and if he is a good person. So Peter Capaldi played all of these incredibly deep, resonant ideas that are about being human, but in particular about getting older and looking back at the entire tapestry of your life. Mm-hmm. And he did all of that while also making jokes, running from Daleks, having sword fight with spoons, and like lots of the ridiculous fun stuff that is at the heart of Doctor Who. And for me, there's a lot that brings Star Wars and Doctor Who together. Mm. And one of them is this marriage of the absurd and the profound, where, you know, Star Wars is a silly space movie about, you know, space wizards who just keep losing limbs. But it's also something that wrestles with the absolute depth of what humanity can be. And that is entirely something that not only can Peter Capaldi do that, but Peter Capaldi should do.
This is, I mean, sold. The Star Wars and Doctor Who being at that intersection of absurdity and the profound. That's a great tagline just for coming into these two franchises, these two worlds. Your passion for anything Doctor Who or Twin Peaks for that matter is going to sell me. But this isn't just a choice that you're thrown against the wall. This is well thought out, and this would really work.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see him as he could do anything. He could be a politician, a scoundrel. You know, he could absolutely be a very different kind of Jedi. He did all these great poses as the 12th Doctor in the promotional photo with kind of the hand stretched out in this sort of mysterious Doctor Who way. But it's, you can see him as a very different kind of Jedi. My final thing is, like, I don't know what Peter Capaldi thinks about Star Wars, but one of the other things that was incredibly charming about him is Doctor Who is that he was a lifelong fan. He was at one point in charge of one of the fan societies, and there are, like, letters of him writing in to the BBC saying, "I think this is the choice you should have made." And, you know, his final story features this long-term Doctor Who enemy called the Cybermen. But the Cybermen change appearance a lot, and they appear in a particular way in their very first appearance in the 10th Planet, which, by the way, the episode that has Bossk's outfit in it. And they are the Cybermen that are originally from Mondas, the planet Mondas, so the 10th Planet. So, you know, fans will refer to them as the Mondasian Cybermen. And they're like, and he requested that. Because he's been a fan that long, where he's like, "I would like to do an episode with the Mondasian Cybermen." So even if he himself is not a huge Star Wars fan, there's this energy from him that he knows and likes those fan details and understands that perspective of, you know, hey, if we're going to have a Rodian, can they need to be in lime green, like those kind of fan details, you know?
Oh, that's great. Yep. That's just awesome. Sorry. No other pretty word.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me enthuse about Peter Capaldi. Just such a fan of his work, and I would love to see him in the galaxy far, far away.
I love it as well. I love any one of these performers to find their way into the Star Wars galaxy. This was a fun show. I got to tell you what, you know, behind the curtain stuff, we were like, all right, let's kind of put together a quick Star Wars ranked. We can kind of busy weeks for both of us. And it's perhaps one of our longest Star Wars ranks. A lot of passion for these performers and what they've done for so long, lining up with our love for this crazy little space wizard saga. So that makes perfect sense. We'd have so much fun with this conversation. We are almost done here, but we can let you know where you can follow us. You can go to Twitter and Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. You can also like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. Get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Get an audiobook out on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Kednapsock or go to kednapsock.com for more of my adventures in this galaxy. And for you, Joseph, they can head to a couple spots as well.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all of my comedy adventures on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
Do it, my friends. Do it. So for all these seasoned faces we want in Star Wars, that's it for this week. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.